The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her children." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Okay, so let us set the stage, since this gospel reading picks up mid chapter 11. Remember, context is key. In the chapter before this, Jesus had just been teaching his disciples about what to expect when he sent them out to share his kingdom message of love and grace, of repentance and forgiveness. And being the good teacher he was, he had equipped them for ministry in the world and sent them out. And as they go, he begins to speak to the crowds who are still hanging around, and he talks to them about John the Baptizer, asking them about his role in the crowd's relationship with John and their response to John's message of repentance. The crowds were people who had been following him around since the Sermon on the Mount to different towns, and they included other Jewish leaders like the Pharisees. So now that's the scene. Now let's start at the end of today's gospel reading. Jesus says to the crowds in verse 28, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Now, it can be easy to over-spiritualize this verse and sanitize it with piety. But he's specifically speaking to those who are overworked, who are toiled out, and carrying a heavy load. In first century Israel, that group was mostly the poor and the impoverished, who were weighed down by religious oppression and political domination. They were just slap wore out. And so Jesus invites them, "Come to me, all you that are just worn out from working so hard and carrying such a heavy load of trying to get by and trying to keep the crazy of your life together. Come to me and I will give you refreshment and rest from your labor." It kind of reminds us of the beginning of Psalm 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me to still waters." Jesus then instructs the crowds, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." While this verse is uniquely Matthew, it does sound similar to what is written about wisdom in the book of Sirach, Chapter 51, where it says, "Put your neck under wisdom's yoke and let your souls receive instruction. It is to be found close by. Now, this is a yoke. This is a yoke, and many of you probably already know this because maybe you grew up on a farm or you know someone who did, where yokes were being used. And looking at it this way, actually, I used to always see it this way, but looking at it this way, I didn't know how it worked. So I had to Google a picture of what a yoke looks like. And really, it's supposed to go like this with this over the neck and this loopy part down here under the chin. I had to look it up because back in North Carolina, where I'm from, farming was not part of my family story because my great-grandparents worked and lived in town. One great-grandfather was a carpenter. Another was a quarry foreman who placed the dynamite that blasted out granite. And the other worked on the railroad. So farming with big animals using yokes isn't particularly part of my history. But a yoke like this would serve a couple to couple two things together, like cattle to pull a plow, and the beam maybe that would unite two scales. So a yoke serves as a balance that makes work possible and maybe easier by sharing the load. But in scripture, a yoke was a common metaphor for the Torah. You know, the first five books of the Old Testament containing the laws of Moses. And taking up the metaphorical yoke would have been the task of learning and being obedient to the laws of Moses. However, Jesus encourages his listeners to take up his yoke, to be obedient to him and to be workers in the field with him. To take up the yoke of Jesus is to learn his way and to follow it. And the Greek word for learn is the same word as to disciple, to learn from others by observation and experience. Jesus invites his hearers to take his yoke of love commandments and to disciple from him. And maybe you already know this, but part of the legend behind a pastor's stole, this thing, is that it represents the yoke of Christ, the towel that he used to dry the disciples' feet as a yoke of service to God's people. That's just one of the legends behind the origin of stoles. But Jesus, as the great teacher, knew that the knowledge is only as good as the ability to apply it. He didn't want people to just learn about him. He wanted people to learn from him. And there was and is a greater purpose to what he did. He expected to see the lessons he taught lived out in his followers' words and actions, the way they spoke and treated other people. He didn't teach to teach. He taught with the expectation that the life of the disciples would change, and the changed disciples would then make an impact and maybe even cause change in their families, their friend circles, their community, and that change might even reach the greater society and world. Jesus concludes by saying, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Taking up Jesus' yoke and learning from him what it means to lead leads to our refreshment of our souls. It also yokes us with him. Jesus invites us to his work of love and grace in the world with him, not because it's easy in the sense of not hard, but easy in the sense of good, useful toward others, or actively doing good in spite of ingratitude. So why was he inviting the worn-out crowds to himself to find refreshment and take up his mantle of love and grace, learning from him? Well, it was because they weren't yoked with him yet. They were apathetic about his gracious message and ministry of compassion and joy. And they were indifferent about the harsh message and serious ministry of repentance that John the Baptist preached. Jesus was calling them to himself and to a new way of being. His words of generational comparison at the beginning remind me of when the New York Times asked members of the generation born between 1995 and 2015 what name they would like to go by as a generation. And yeah, while some balked at the notion, out came the phrase Generation Delta. And one 22-year-old said that Delta is used to denote change and uncertainty in mathematics and the sciences. And she said that my generation was shaped by change and uncertainty. And she mentioned terror attacks and wars and the Great Recession. She went on to say, I don't have much memory of a sustained time of stability. Delta also implies members of this generation being agents of change, not just people reacting to it, she said. We're not passive products of circumstances, but active members of society with agency to affect the course of history. And we'll build each other up to make things better. So it got me wondering, if we have taken up the yoke of Jesus and learned from him, then what generation of Christians and Lutherans, disciples and neighbors are we? And do we want to be? Are we, and do we want to be, the generation of the crowd that Jesus is chiding, like indifferent and apathetic children sitting in the marketplace and yelling to one another? Are we, and do we want to be, a generation of believers who watch the world go by from the sidelines while being afraid of the change that might be required of us if we take on the yoke of Jesus and learn from his power-disturbing anti-hierarchical movement of love and grace? Or are we, and do we want to be, a different generation, a generation of disciples who live the way of Jesus, dancing when we hear his good news, and comforting and being present when there is communal wailing and grief? Friends, Jesus ministered with his gentleness and humility on. Jesus taught with his compassion and his courage on. Jesus led with his equality and his equity on. And today, once more, Jesus calls you and me with his love and grace on. Jesus' yoke is ready. Are we with him?